to spend today helping you understand what a next step in a relationship with God looks like. Salvation, the moment of confessing to God that we need Him and asking for forgiveness, is step one on the journey of following Christ. Salvation is the beginning point, and there are other points along the way, steps to be made. And today we're going to talk about the second step in that journey in just a couple of minutes. Maybe you made a decision last week to invite Christ into your life. It's possible you might be here, and you might have made this decision to follow Christ a long time ago. Maybe you, when you were a kid in Sunday school or children's worship, maybe even an adult service a long time ago, you made a decision to follow Christ. But after that, you kind of felt left out in the dark. Like, what am I supposed to do now? What's next for me on the Christian journey? If you have felt that way at all, today I want to help you understand what step two is. And again, it might have been quite some time ago where you made this, but if you made the decision a long time ago and you've never done what we're going to talk about today, then you've really never done the second part of the journey or the second step in following Christ. Today we're going to talk about baptism. Now, I got to say that when you study Scripture, baptism is a very interesting thing. It's almost out of place. As a matter of fact, the whole, you know, I'm a sinner, I need saved, I think we can all agree that we've all messed it up, and it'd be great to know that we're forgiven. I mean, that's the greatest news I've ever heard. And I think that's kind of universal, and that's really, really great. But then you take this next piece, and it's baptism, and it's really weird. You go and you know, in our modern day, you get in a place called a baptismal, which is even a weird word, and then this guy, like, stands beside you, or this lady, whatever, stands, and they just throw you under the water. And they just bring you back up, and everyone claps, and you're like, what was that all about? I don't even know why I did that. I mean, that's weird. If you've grown up in church, it's not weird. If you have not, that's weird. It just is. That's different. And that's okay. So if you're here today and you not really understand baptism, let me help you understand why a person would get baptized. Let me tell you two reasons, or two things that baptism is not, though, before I unpack a passage of Scripture for you. Baptism is not a ritualistic duty for membership. It's not like the church sat around, some guys in the church, and thought, how can we make it hard for someone to join a church? Let's see. I know, we'll throw them in some water. That'll run a whole bunch of people off. We can just get the ones we want. That'll be great. That's not what baptism is about. It's not this ritualistic duty that you have to do in order to join the church. Now, at Solace Church, we do ask people to be baptized first, but it's not because we're trying to make it difficult. There's a way more significant reason to be baptized. Secondly, baptism is not about you needing to take a bath. You do that on your own time for your own reasons. Our water is not even water you would want to take a bath in, all right? It's not that kind of, I mean, it's clean, but it's, I just saw a fly floating around in there not too long ago. So, I mean, it's not that kind of water. As a matter of fact, Scripture's pretty clear on this. Peter says that baptism is not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but of an answer of a good conscience towards God. There's something else going on with baptism. Now, Paul, the apostle, writes in Romans chapter 6 about baptism. And as I read Romans chapter 6, 1 through 7, it's almost as if Paul is sitting down with someone who just came to faith. They just made this decision. Man, this whole Jesus thing is new to me. I'm not even sure I understand it all. Help me get it. And in Romans chapter 6, Paul gives us two clear purposes behind baptism. I'm going to give them to you up front. We're going to talk about them. Baptism is all about identifying and identity. So identify and identity. Let's unpack that this morning. Turn with me, if you haven't already, to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And let's take a look at what Paul's advice would be to someone who's trying to figure out this whole baptism thing. Paul says, what shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Now, that is certainly a rhetorical question, isn't it? I mean, everyone logically could come to the conclusion that if I had a sin problem before I met Christ, then it is logical to say that if I want a remedy for that I wouldn't continue to walk in the same patterns of that lifestyle. Like, before Christ, I pursued sin, but after Christ, I need to pursue something else. Why would you need Jesus if the sin journey was working out for you? I mean, people come to a realization that this sin path is not so great. I need something else in my life. Therefore, Jesus fits the gap between where I'm going and where I need to go. And he becomes the remedy for our sin problem through his death on the cross, his burial, and his ultimate resurrection. And so Jesus provides that for us. Now, Paul says, should a person think this way? Wow, man, I'm forgiven. God is so gracious. I think I should keep on sinning so that God can continue to be gracious to me. That's illogical. And Paul answers his own rhetorical question by simply saying in verse 2, of course not. By no means should that be the way that we act. And he gives us a rationale. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Now hear me. Paul's not saying that once you get saved, you never sin. Paul's saying that once you become a Christ follower, that the patterns of your life begin to change. You don't pursue the same things you used to pursue. And the good news about that, if you're wondering, is you don't have to provide all the effort to make that happen. A mistake a lot of believers make is that they have to apply effort to produce life change. But that's not the case. Life change comes because the Holy Spirit lives in our life when we invite Jesus into our heart. So the good news is you don't have to try harder to get rid of patterns. God does that work in you when you accept Jesus into your life. And so Paul says, we've died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know, he goes on to say, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Now that's incredible news for a Christian, that if we get to share in the death of our old self, we also get to share in the new life that comes because Jesus rose from the dead. That means, hear me, if you're a believer, you never die, ever. Paul goes on to say in the text, verse number 6, For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So in this passage of Scripture, Paul gives us these two pieces, identify and identity. Let's unpack them for just a moment. When we say that baptism is about identifying with something, we see Paul's explanation. So Paul's sitting at the table with someone who's just received Jesus, and Paul said, incredible decision to follow Christ. Best decision you could ever make. Now what? Well, Paul would say to you, here's the cool part about this. We have the ability in the Christian journey to confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Lord. But we also have the ability next to let the entire world know through baptism that we are passionate about Jesus, that we want to identify with him. That it's not just some secret part of our life, but it's the public display of what God has done in my life. So baptism is about publicly identifying with Jesus. Now, to help you understand this, I want to just to get you thinking about bumper stickers and decals and T-shirts. I don't know how many of you have bumper stickers on your car. In my household, we don't love putting bumper stickers and decals everywhere, but some families absolutely love this. So and there's some funny ones out there. I'm sure you've seen them, some entirely inappropriate ones. But some funny, don't laugh, your daughter may be in the car as well. I thought that was pretty good, like a old clunker. I thought that was kind of clever. If you have a teenage daughter, maybe you can appreciate that. I've seen another one that says, my kid can beat up your honor student. So I thought that was pretty good as well. But some of you display bumper stickers, decals, and you wear T-shirts for things you are incredibly passionate about. And sometimes you go to environments where there are other people incredibly passionate about the same thing. I mean, if I were to say in this room, boomer, like half of you would know what to say after that. Thank you very much. But if I would say orange, then another half of you would know what to say after that. Power, right? So, and I don't even know what TU is. Like, go TU. I'm not even sure what TU is this morning. What is it? Oh, thank you. Golden Hurricane. All right. We have two TU fans in the building this morning. That is it's awesome. It's great. So you know how to identify. So people put on their cars, on their windows, on their bumpers, they wear shirts, hoodies, so that they might let the world know what they're passionate about. Paul would say to a brand new believer, someone that doesn't understand baptism, they would say that baptism is the decal for the soul. It lets the world know who I identify with. That's why Paul says in this passage of Scripture that we are buried with him, that is, with Christ, and just as Christ. There's a connection point that happens when I'm baptized. And so baptism is all about letting the world know what has already taken place in my life when I ask Jesus into my heart. Paul says we're buried with Christ in baptism. That is, we put to death our old nature. We are no longer living for that old nature, and we come up out of that water a new creation in Christ. Now, the baptismal water does not do that. God does that. Baptism just shows the world what has already happened in our life. And so it's about identifying with Christ. If you study Scripture, there's a couple of things that you need to understand about this whole identifying with Christ thing. If you look at the timing of the events, confession of Christ and baptism, or profession of Christ and baptism, you'll notice that these two events throughout Scripture happen very closely together. If you study the book of Acts, it's almost instantaneous. Paul, in Acts chapter 9, sees Jesus on the road to Damascus, and then he ends up in Damascus. He meets Ananias, and he's prophesied over. And then immediately the Bible says Paul is baptized. So Paul sees Jesus, he confesses or professes Jesus, and then he's baptized. It's very, very quick in Scripture. It's almost immediate. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch hears from one of Jesus' disciples named Philip. Philip is on the road. He sees this man studying Scriptures. He comes up next to him and says, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" The Ethiopian eunuch says, "How can I understand? I don't know what's going on." Philip explains Jesus to him. He obviously explains the whole dynamic of following Christ in baptism as well. And so the Ethiopian eunuch in that moment looks around and says, "Hey, why shouldn't I be baptized right now?" And so they stop on that day, in that moment. They get out of the chariot. They go over to the pool of water. And in that very moment, after he professes Jesus, he is immediately baptized. Many scholars believe that the water the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized in was the drinking water for the whole area. But he didn't care, because he has made this profession of Christ. Therefore, he is going to be baptized in this water, identifying publicly with Christ. And throughout the whole book of Acts, you see this. Profession, immediate baptism. Another thing that you also see in Scripture is the mode or the way in which someone was baptized. Throughout Scripture, it is clear that when someone was baptized, they went all the way underwater and came up out of the water. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized. And the Bible says that John the Baptist baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, then the Holy Spirit is said to have rested on him. So there is this under the water and then out of the water experience. It's called immersion. And the reason why you're baptized by immersion is because of identifying, right? We are buried under the water with Christ, our old life. We are raised with him in the newness of life. Some of you may have been sprinkled when you were really, really little with water. Maybe you went to a church that they just sprinkled some water over you and your parents said, "Hey, we sprinkled you with water and you're good to go." Maybe some of you were in environments where they poured water over you. Oftentimes when infants are baptized, they're sprinkled or poured because it would not be, you know, okay to just hold them underwater. That would be, you might go to jail for that. So that would not work. So you may have been sprinkled or poured. But I want you to understand that sprinkling and pouring is not the picture in Scripture for baptism after professing Christ. As a matter of fact, the Greek word, you've probably heard this before, the Greek word for baptize is the Greek word baptizo, or baptizo. It means literally to put under or immerse. What you may not know, though, is that the Greek word baptizo comes from another Greek word, babto. And babto describes the process by which a cloth would be put underwater, rinsed, and then dye added to it. The picture is that cloth coming up a different-looking cloth. So baptizo is that way in which we publicly profess what's taken place in our heart, becoming a new creation. So it's all about identifying with Christ. Baptism is also about identity. Remember that question Paul asked? "Hey, let me ask you a question. Should you really go on sinning so that God can just be demonstrated more powerfully in your life? Should that be the model?" Paul's answer, of course, is no. Why? Here's Paul's response. "Well, because you died to sin. You shouldn't continue in that pattern because you don't live for that anymore. You put that to death." And then he unpacks this more fully in verse number 6 of chapter 6. Now look there again with me just quickly. Paul says, "For we know that our old self..." Now this is going to be critical For those of you who are further along on the Christian journey this morning, you may have been saved 5, 10, 15 years. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been free from sin. So let me unpack this. Paul says that when a person gives their life to Christ, this miraculous thing happens inside of them. They are set free from having to pursue sin. That's a really great truth about the Christian journey. All right. And so let me say this. When someone initially gives their life to Christ, and they realize for the first time that God no longer holds their sins against them, that is a cool moment for them. Last week, 9 people realized that. That's awesome. A week or so earlier, I had a guy come in the door. He didn't say hi to me. He didn't say hello. He didn't say, how you doing, Pastor? He walked in and he said, hey, I want to be saved today. I'm like, that didn't happen every day in my life. It's pretty amazing. I'm like, oh, okay. No, and me and all my kids, we're ready. We've talked about it. We're ready. I'm like, wow. Walked through the door. I said, all right, we're going to have service. After service, don't leave. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to have you meet with our pastoral care pastor, Chuck, and Zach, our children's pastor. We're going to talk to you about salvation. And if you're serious about this, we will lead you in that journey, and you can give your life to Christ today. And they're like, absolutely. They stayed after. They sit right back over there in the back. Chuck and Zach met with them, and all of them at the same time prayed. They were crying. They were surrendering their life to Christ. And I don't believe this was like the dad said to all the kids, you're going to love Jesus today. I think this was the dad and all the kids realizing this is a moment for us to give our life to Christ. Well, the next week they came in, and Chuck said, how you doing? And the guy said, what do you mean, how am I doing? I've had the best week of my life. How could I not have an incredible week? Of course that's the truth, because when you realize that God no longer holds your sins against you, that's the greatest day of anyone's life. How many of you know this, though? That truth loses its power over time. So that along the way, we end up in similar patterns of sin that we were in previous to coming to Christ. And so we lean back into some things we know we shouldn't be involved in, but it's so hard because we still have this sin problem that everyone deals with. And so over time, what happens is our identity becomes confused. So, oh man, did I really mean that? Did I really ask Jesus? Did I really mean, I mean, was that just some weird experience, or was that real in my life? And so what happens is over time, our identity becomes unclear. Here's what baptism does for you. When you are baptized, you're able to put that on a day, on a calendar. This is the day I publicly identified with Christ, that I let the world know that my new identity is that I am a new creation in Christ. And so when you begin to drift over time, you can come back to the moment on that calendar and say, nope, that day I publicly followed Christ. It's a critical anchor for the identity of the believer. Now, I do a lot of counseling and coaching, and I'm so thankful for the privilege of being able to do that. And many times people come to me and say, Matt, I am so confused right now. I've got this major decision, this thing that we're dealing with, and I don't even know how to wrestle with it. I don't even know how to make a decision about it. I'm so confused. And I say to them, look, certainly spend time in prayer about that. Certainly seek wise counsel. But what I would really encourage you to do is go back to the point where you had clarity. If you can go back to that point where you knew with certainty what you were supposed to do or what you were supposed to be doing, then you can start there and you can begin to reestablish what God might be doing in your life through this process. Going back to clarity brings clarity in the present. And that's what baptism does for a believer. When they drift, when they miss out, when they don't understand, they can go back to the moment on that day, on that place, at Solace Church, I publicly identified with Christ. My identity is in Christ. Isn't that cool? And so baptism is about identifying an identity. Now, there's a video that demonstrates, that shares this so powerfully that I want to share it with you today. I think it will be so profound in helping you understand what Paul's trying to say in Romans 6. Watch this.
Jesus is baptized at the beginning of his ministry, and at the end of his time on earth, he tells his followers that every believer should have an experience like that in their journey. Now, I was baptized when I was 8 years old, but my journey hasn't always lived up to that moment. I've wandered, I've doubted, sometimes I've just rebelled against God. So it begs the question, what was my baptism for? Was it inauthentic? Was it a poor attempt at an empty ritual or a rite of passage that didn't stick? What's the point of a moment like that if our journey will still have its struggles? I mean, what is baptism and why does it matter so much to Jesus? It turns out, as is often the case with Jesus, that there's actually a story behind the story. And the story behind the story in Jesus' baptism is the Exodus. When the Hebrew people were in Egypt, they weren't really a people at all. They were just a bunch of poor extended family living in somebody else's country where they were property. Every day they went to work and they were reminded that they had no identity, no rights, no freedom by the lashes that hit their backs when they couldn't make enough bricks to keep up with the thriving economy of Egypt. Can you imagine the feeling of the lashes on your back when you couldn't keep up with the demands of your taskmasters? I mean, how about you? Have you ever come home from a day of work and felt like your identity was nothing more than a cog in a machine? Maybe you feel like even the people who are closest to you in life would rather use you than know you. What happens to our identity when the loudest voices are the ones that beat us down? So God looks down and he sees the Hebrew people, and he sees that they know themselves as slaves and workhorses, but they don't know themselves as children of God, and he decides to do something about it. So he sends Moses into Pharaoh's courts. Moses says, let the people go. Pharaoh says no, and God sends devastating plagues on the nation of Egypt. Eventually, Pharaoh relents, and for the first time in generations, the Israelite people are free. They walk out of Egypt to become their own people. They come up against the waters of the Red Sea, and at that point, Pharaoh changes his mind, and he sends his armies to get them. And what do you do when you think that God has saved you, and then you're not so sure? What do you do when doubt and struggle enter in? Maybe you don't do anything. Maybe God comes through. God sends Moses to lead. He puts his hands outstretched over the waters of the Red Sea, and the waters literally part as the people of Israel walk through on dry ground. Now, Pharaoh's armies think they can get to them, so they pursue them, except as they enter the Red Sea, the waters come back in and swallow them up. And all of a sudden, you're Israel. You've been saved twice already. You're standing on dry ground. You've come up out of the water. You keep reading, though, and after God brings Israel out of the water, you sort of wonder if he bet on the wrong horse, because they still have struggles on their journey. They still have problems along the way. In fact, there are moments when you flat out wonder if they've lost their identity again after their Red Sea moment. It's like they keep listening to these voices that whisper to them or shout to them and say, you're not who you think you are. But maybe that's the point. God didn't bring them through the water because they would be perfect. He brought them through the water because he knew that they would wander and that they would need an anchor in their story, a tether to their identity when lies get shouted at them about who they are and their future. Now, baptism for Jesus doesn't just look back to the Exodus. It looks forward too, because our deliverance didn't happen at the Red Sea with Moses' arms extended. It happened at the cross with Jesus' arms outstretched. We weren't rescued from Pharaoh's army, and we've been saved from the slavery of sin. It's not the waters that cleanse us, but they symbolize a life that has gone to the cross with Jesus and come up from the grave with a new identity of freedom in him. As we're going to have moments when we're tempted to believe that we're the old us instead of the new us. You're going to have voices screaming at you that say that you're not holy, you don't belong to him, you aren't loved. But you and I are given a moment to step into the waters, to feel grace wash over us from head to toe. Jesus says, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your sins may seem to pursue you, but they've been drowned in the blood of Christ shed at the cross. We've been renamed, reclaimed by Jesus. We've been adopted as sons and daughters. We are children of God. Engage in a defiant act of protest against the voices of shame that chase you and tell the world that you belong to him.
And so baptism becomes the anchor for your soul, clarifying to you who you are. You know, today at Solace Church, it might be possible that there is someone here that at some point in their journey, they've prayed a prayer and asked God to come into their life, but they've never taken the next step and followed Him in water baptism. It's also possible that there's someone here today, maybe a few of you, that maybe you were baptized so long ago and you didn't understand it, and it was just something that you felt like you had to do, but there wasn't clarity. And maybe today, God has come and brought some clarity to you about why you would be baptized. Well, at Solace Church, we try to practice what we preach. And so this morning, right now, we want to give you a chance to follow God in water baptism. So in just a moment, we're going to give you a chance to walk through these doors on both sides. This morning, publicly identify with Christ. Now, here's what I know. Some of you in the room this morning need to do this. But my commitment to you is we will not force or pressure you or manipulate you into doing it. We simply invite you. And if you're here this morning and your heart is racing right now, then I'm talking to you. And if that's you, maybe you're freaked out. And maybe you're already thinking of all the reasons why you couldn't be baptized. You know, that question was asked in Scripture. Peter looked at a man named Cornelius and said, "What hinders you from being baptized? You've received the Holy Spirit just like we have." And I would look at you and say, "What hinders you?" You know, if maybe one of the things you would say, "Oh man, I had no idea I was being baptized. I don't have any change of clothes." Well, we thought of that. So in the back right now, if you take this step with us, there's a change of clothes for you to be baptized in. The towel back there waiting for you to be dried off. If you're a lady here today and you would say, "Oh my gosh, I didn't bring anything for my hair. It's going to be sopping wet." And here's what I would say to you. Maybe you walked in today with a beautiful picture of great hair. But what if you walked out today a beautiful picture of God's grace? And your hair was sopping wet. But you took a step of obedience to follow Christ. So here's what I'd like to do. I promise you we won't pressure you. But I do want to give you a chance to respond this today. So if would you just bow your heads and close your eyes?
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solacechurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solacechurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.